and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Nita. On today's show, we will be listening to the first part of the recording of the Pan-African Women's Day Seminar, which was convened by the All African People's Revolutionary Party and which was held in March of this year. The theme of this year's seminar was A Pan-Africanist Feminist Tribute, honoring African women resisting imperialism, settler colonialism, neocolonialism, national and women's oppression, and Zionism. Have a listen.
All right. So I do want to try to get us started. My name is Layla Brown. I am with the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, and I am the General Secretary for the All African Women's Revolutionary Union. I would like to thank you all for joining us today for our annual Pan-African Women's Day program, 2025. I think many of you all have probably attended many online forums before, and we actually decided to do something just a little bit different than what I think we typically do. So rather than having, you know, a panel of four or five people who, talk for 5 to 10 minutes each, what we actually decided to do was we have quite a roster of folks that have joined us today to speak on this topic from various countries, from Venezuela, from Cuba, from Haiti, from Cameroon, from across the United States, and other places. We also have representatives from the Palestinian Youth Movement. And so what we've actually done is put together about 5 questions, and we have asked that our participants for today will respond to some of these questions in much more of like a roundtable type type program. And so what we will try to do, rather than having people, like I said, give long bios or give long presentations, we would actually like for this to be somewhat more confrontational. I mean, sorry, conversational. I'm sorry. And so also in lieu of reading bios for everyone, we've actually created a bio sheet on our website for all of our speakers. And so I'm actually dropping that in the chat right now. And so this will allow you to see names and pictures and biographical information about all the speakers who will be joining us today. So before we get started with the first set of questions, I would like to also just begin with a brief land acknowledgement. So in 1999, the year after Kwame Ture died, we had African Liberation Day in Malcolm X Park in Washington, D.C. My mother, Bobby Brown, was one of the speakers on behalf of the party, and she gave a brief tribute to the history and contribution to Kwame Ture for his history and contributions to the All African Women's Revolutionary Union. And in that, she offered a very brief land acknowledgement. And so we want to share that as we get started today.
On behalf of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, permit me to once again welcome and thank all of our comrades, sister and brother organizations, international friends and supporters, and all of you, the masses of our people who have come and participated in this historic 41st anniversary observances of African Liberation Day. We would also like to express our sincerest gratitude and appreciation to the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere, the victims and survivors of a brutal, racist, genocide, settler occupation, colonialism throughout North, South, and Central America, and who are waging a heroic liberation struggle to regain possession of their land throughout this hemisphere. We thank you for your gracious hospitality, humanitarian assistance, and political support during your 400-year refuge in your during our 400-year refuge in your homeland. You were the first and you are the most consistent ally and supporter of the African Revolution in this hemisphere. America is your land, Africa for the Africans.
Now what we will do is I will share the first question that we have asked our speakers to think about. And what I will do is ask, so we have a number of our invited speakers. So we have, I see in the, I see we have Camille Landry, Flavia Marquez, Lynette Thompson. I'm just trying to, Nuhad. Let's see, Naya. So what I will ask, and I'm also happy, I will be participating in this conversation as well. But what I would like for us to do, like I said, is try to have somewhat of a roundtable discussion about these topics. And so I also just want to give a little bit of information. So I will say that I think the history of the All African People's Re in the history of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, we have traditionally examined what in Pan-Africanist sort of traditional Marxist conversations is the woman question, and that is the role of women in revolutionary struggle. One of the things that we are attempting to do inside the AAPRPGC is refine that position and decide whether or not we will be taking an outward position on the question of feminism more directly, as opposed to the kind of general question, the general issue of the woman question. And so a part of what we want to do today is think about the history and struggle of Pan-Africanism in relationship to the question of feminism in particular. This does not necessarily mean that we have a pre-formulated or articulated position on the question of feminism. It is not even necessarily that all of us who are having this conversation today will have a shared position on feminism, but we thought that it would be important to have a space where we are thinking about this issue with people who we consider to be comrades in struggle, people who we consider to be like-minded, and that will help push us as an organization and as a people on both the woman question and the question of feminism. Whether it is something that we as Pan-Africanists, as African peoples, need to, should be taking up, should we be defining feminism for ourselves, refining our understandings of it, and promoting, promoting an understanding of feminism as it relates to Pan-Africanism and the issue of liberation for African peoples worldwide. So I would like to start. And I'll also say this. So, because we've shared the bios, like I said, we are not going to read bios, but I would ask that any of our speakers, the first time that you speak, you are welcome to give a brief introduction of who you are for the audience, and then continue on to answer the question. So, the first question that we would like to propose to our speakers is, why should all women, and particularly African women or women of African descent, engage in the fight against imperialism, settler colonialism, neocolonialism, national women's oppression, and Zionism? So I would like to start there, and I will allow you all to decide who would like to speak first. But like I said, I know we have quite a few. So I know we have Fravia, Lynette, Camille, Nuhad. So I would like to, and more. I know Naya. There are more. So Camille, you can go right ahead.
Greetings to my sisters and brothers, and thank you very much for including me in this important forum. I would like to start off by saying, well, my purpose in life is to see a revolution happen, to see the liberation of my people. And that's what I've been working for towards most of my lifetime. So here we all are, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to be working alongside of all of you sisters and brothers. I think the best answer to your question lies in a quote from Thomas Sankara, an African revolutionary, a hero, a martyr, former president of Burkina Faso before he was assassinated. And he said, "There is no true social revolution without the liberation of women. Without women, there is no revolution." He went on to say, "May my eyes never see and my feet never take me to a society where half the people are held in silence." And that says it all. That is why it is absolutely imperative for women to engage in the struggle, because we hold up half the sky.
Absolutely. Thank you. Would someone else like to either draw on Camille's remarks and or answer the question as well? Go ahead, Nuhat.
In a similar vein, as the Palestinian feminist movement, Tal'at puts it, there can be no free homeland without free women. And through periods of intifada, a social revolution accompanied the political uprising. According to Manat Hassan, a co-founder of the Palestinian feminist organization Al-Fanad, which is Arabic for the lantern, and often it has kind of a deeper meaning of, a force of cultural significance. In the context of the first intifada, quote, women began to get out of the house, from their cocoon, from the kitchen and washing dishes, and go out and participate with men, as if she has forgotten the whole history of patriarchal oppression. She can now lead popular committees, build other committees, decide and participate in decision making. This is not only nationalism. Here, the linkage was being made subconsciously. Women, especially working women, since the 1960s, have been at the forefront of building the popular committees that allowed for the creation of alternative movements and alternative institutions rooted in resistance, through which the first intifada could be sustained for 6 years. And these alternative institutions enabled the Palestinian working masses to withhold their labor and money from the Israeli economy to the cost of $1.5 to $2 billion each year to the Israeli economy. And this was very detrimental to the Zionist economy because they heavily relied on Palestinian labor and Palestinian money to capacity capital to sustain their economy and build their new settlements. So this had a very detrimental impact to the Zionist entity and, really helped Palestinians kind of push forth for their demands. And Palestinian women had created institutions that could provide for and protect the Palestinian masses and counter Israeli attacks on Palestinian life throughout the First Intifada. Through their work in the popular committees, Palestinian women teach us that everyone has a place in struggle, that conditions for uprising and revolution lie within popular resistance, and that Palestinian women can make strides in the struggle for gendered liberation through engaging in the struggle for national liberation.
Absolutely, thank you. So we're already as we knew, as we thought we would, as we knew we would, we're already hearing, as Camille has already invoked, Brother Thomas Sankara from Burkina Faso, speaking about the particular role that women will play in both revolutionary struggle and organization, and as well, Nahad has brought in our Palestinian sisters in the struggle, in their struggle for their land, for their self-determination, for their freedom, and understanding what the sort of day-to-day experience of women is in terms of the struggle to actually achieve our own freedom. I also see now that Fravia has her hand raised. Well, please, Fravia.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me here today. I'm talking from Venezuela and I'm part of the Afro-Venezuelan network in the Somos Venezuela movement and also the International Cumbre for Anti-Imperialistic for Afro-Descendants. So, of course, as all my colleagues said, the liberation of the woman and especially Afro-descendant or African women cannot be separated from the broader struggles against imperialism and capitalism because these systems shape their oppression. Women's oppression is not just a secondary issue, as sometimes we want to see it, to economic and national struggles, but is the fundamental to the structures. These structures maintain oppressed populations because they maintain the operation maintains those systems. In the case of Venezuela, as most of you know, President Chavez always underlined that their women were the base of the revolution. Our revolution in this 21st century is still today. President Maduro still keeps saying it and putting women everywhere, executive power, the vice president, a lot of ministers, but also in the communal system in Venezuela is based on the women. The women are leaders in our communes, leaders in our barrios. They are the ones moving forward, the passionate, the ones that know across the whole society what is going on. Because, well, we are not just the base of the family, but we carry on with us all the inheritance, all our histories. So a struggle against capitalism, patriarchy, and imperialism needs to be together and recognize that women's oppression is systematic. It's not just individual experiences. And also sometimes especially in my country, feminist movement or gender, it's only about gender. they don't see the whole, they don't have the whole vision, and they don't see all the struggles that could come together if you see the connecting dots. That's what I would like to add to the conversation.
No, I think that's really important. And I think that's really important on this question of feminism, because what I heard you say, Fravia, there is that it is not that women do not have a critical role to play, or even that women's critical role to play has been neglected, but perhaps that in the framing of feminism in the Venezuelan context, and perhaps in other contexts, that the feminist movement or feminist ideologies tend to limit the question of intervention to gender alone, and is not, and are not necessarily thinking about all of the different ways that these issues of class, of race, of other means of being either oppressed and or belonging are taken up under the sort of feminist umbrella. And I think this is one of the reasons why we wanted to have this conversation about feminism in particular. And does it matter? So I know that I believe both Chavez said in particular that to be a socialist, one truly has to be a feminist. And so one thing I'm interested in us talking more about is, again, there's a difference between what sort of feminist movements have taken up until this point, but then those of us who identify as revolutionaries, as Pan-Africanists, do we think that it is important to actually take up the issue of feminism and to define it for ourselves? Or do we leave it to folks who have already understood themselves, who already sort of declare themselves to be feminists? Do we believe, as Chavez says, that to be socialist is to be feminist? Do we believe, as Nkrumah says, that the sort of the degree of a country's political maturity is measured by its women? Do we take those up as sort of central arguments or tenets of our struggles as socialists, as 21st century socialists, as Pan-Africanists, as Chavistas, as whatever else? Do we create a sort of affirmative position that argues that we understand feminism in a particular kind of way? Or do we think that that's not a useful, do we think that that's not useful, that's not necessary? Camille?
I think, for starters, let's talk about terminology. I personally prefer the term womanism to feminism. The difference is very simple. Womanism has class consciousness. Womanism involves being aware of the struggles of other people nationwide, worldwide. Womanism implies that you understand the role that imperialism plays, as well as the role that patriarchy plays. Womanism implies that we are engaged in a common struggle, shoulder to shoulder, with our family, which includes our brothers and others in our community, and not in opposition to them. Womanism is not an individualist concept. It is a collective concept. And so I think that distinction is very important. I think that feminism has been defined by Western women in particular in a way that is somewhat counter to the concerns of African and other oppressed people, and does not lean heavily enough on an analysis that includes white supremacy, imperialism, capitalism, in addition to patriarchy. So that right there is a place to start.
Okay. And I think that's useful. Understanding that the sort of intellectual history of terms like feminism and womanism have different points of origins, different origin stories, different trajectories, and that there is a general assumption or a knowledge that womanism comes out of a particular Black woman's experience, as it was originally theorized from the U.S., that takes into account these other axes of oppression, like class, like race in ways that historically feminism has not. I have more to add to that, but I also see that Fravia has their hand has her hand raised.
Yes, exactly. I think what Camille said complements what we are living right now in the Afro-Venezuelan movement. As some of you may know, we are heading towards a referendum in our constitution, not a referendum, a reform of our constitution that will be voted. And all the sectors in the society in the Venezuela has been called to get together and share and bring up their proposals. In the case of the Afro-Venezuelans, we have been discussing the issue of feminism, which from now on I will call womanism, because I totally agree with what Mrs. Landry said. We have been trying to explain to the Afro movement and also to educate that the slavery system seated on on a patriarchal system. So how come you cannot see that is part of the same, that is all connected? It's not just another movement that was born later, just because we get the right to vote or whatever. And also how the Africans and Afro descendants were the one of the first victims of these systems, just because of patriarchy, patriarchal system, which leads what you are saying, what you are mentioning of Western, the Westernization of history, models, structures, etc. So I totally agree. And it's right now getting shape in Venezuela. Probably since in Latin America, we have been, and I want to comment this for the broad audience, since the racism was not so direct or it was not segregational, we were misled historically to think there was no racism, that we were mestizos, all these concepts they have put inside our heads since we are kids to try to manipulate us, and etc. So that made racism even more dangerous because it's silent. So we're coming to the same point you are right now, like slower and late, but we're getting there to understand that, of course, it is related. And there is racism still today. And of course, there it is also connected to the woman role in society and to the race. So everything is together.
Thank you. I actually wanted to maybe, I know there are some other folks who are on our speaker list that haven't spoken yet, but I did want to perhaps return to Nahad, because in my understanding, the Talat movement actually does use feminist as a term that sort of that as a defining term. And so I'm wondering if there is a difference in relationship to the term feminist amongst Palestinian women, or if there are other sort of similar divergences or trends in relationship to what it means to address women's issues specifically in the Palestinian movement and the struggle against Zionism.
I think to that point, it's almost kind of like a reclamation. We kind of see our use of the term feminism as kind of like a reclamation, as kind of like an aspirational, like this is what feminism should be when we are engaging in our version of feminism. In the Palestinian context, after the Oslo Accords, we kind of see this NGOization of the struggle, which reduces the Palestinian cause from one of national liberation to one of reform within the settler colonial framework. And the feminist movement within Palestine, unfortunately, kind of falls victim to that rhetoric. We see a lot of NGOs coming in and trying to, a lot of Western NGOs coming in and trying to profess that they're here to promote gender equality and, you know, help Palestinian women get educated without, you know, without recognizing that Palestinians' primary oppressor is the Israeli occupation of Palestine, is Zionism, is the Israeli occupiers. And so we kind of see feminism in that way as like us reclaiming it and, you know, trying to push forth, you know, trying to push through these kind of agendas that, you know, because of NGOization, because of, you know, Western organizations coming in and trying to promote gender equality, it's unfortunately had the impact of framing grassroots Palestinian demands for gender and sexual justice that are rooted in a material reality on the ground that there is gender inequality, that there is sexual injustice, that these, you know, grassroots Palestinian demands are framed and delegitimized as foreign Western concepts. And so within our struggle, we're kind of trying to push through that and, you know, kind of embody, like, this is what actual feminism is, and recognize an intersectional feminism that recognizes how patriarchy operates in tandem with the forces of imperialism, colonialism, capitalism, and all other systems of oppression. Because any feminism that neglects to recognize these intersections is not feminism. It's mm-hmm. another iteration of white supremacy, of imperialism, of colonialism, etc.
And that's all we've got time for today. We just heard the first part of the recording of the Pan-African Women's Day seminar, which was convened by the All African People's Revolutionary Party and which was held in March of this year. The theme for this year's seminar was A Pan-Africanist Feminist Tribute, Honoring African Women Resisting Imperialism, Settler Colonialism, Neocolonialism, National and Women's Oppression, and Zionism. The next part of the discussion will be aired on the show in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kanjere. If you want to hear the show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Nita, and we look forward to your company again next week.